your Bible, if you will, please, and I want you to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter number 1, please. John chapter 1. And once you get to John chapter 1, we are going to find verse number 1. And then why don't you stand with me? We stand for a couple of reasons. One, out of reverence to the Word of God. Two, gives you just a little break before we set for the duration of the lesson. John chapter 1, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made." Now look at verse 11. It says, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Look back at me, if you will. The lesson tonight is called A Variety of Relationships. A Variety of Relationships. The title will not make sense until we're a few paragraphs into the lesson, if you will, but it'll make total sense to you by the end of the night. We're talking about relationships, and let me pray. Father, help my mind to be attached to the truth. God, I pray that as a result of that, that I'll be able to teach in a simple way this truth. God, Your Bible is amazing. What a book. God, I pray that my simple mind will not cloud this wonderful, wonderful truth that we're going to study tonight. Help us all to minimize the interruptions. Still, everybody, the young people, and help us to be able to concentrate on this truth of a variety of relationships. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. Let me remind you, if you have a cell phone on, make sure that it's put on vibrate or turned off so it does not interrupt our service. Week number one in this series, we talked about our relationship to the Word of God. And we did that because if you can have a proper relationship with the Word of God, it's going to help you then to have better relationships with everybody else. I promise you, the book that we use as our guidebook is a book of relationships. Then, last week, we talked about the subject of becoming a true blue spiritual friend to yourself. The truth is so important, I wish I could reteach it, because it's the way that you will help you to become what God wants you to be. Tonight, the lesson's called A Variety of Relationships. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four different men, four different books of the Bible, written by four different men, all about the same person, Jesus. Matthew was written to picture Jesus as a king. Now, here's the reason why. Matthew was a tax collector. If you look in the book of Matthew, you'll see a genealogy, a family history in there. And it's a pretty thick genealogy. Why? Well, Matthew was a tax collector, which meant that he had to do with politics, and it's no surprise then that Matthew would write about Jesus as a king, because from Matthew's perspective, that's kind of how God allowed him to see Jesus Christ. And the genealogy is kind of thick. Why? Because when you're talking about a king, you're tracing them backwards, and you want to see that pure bloodline. And of course, Jesus, you get to tracing him backwards, and he goes back into royalty in the past, and it's just an amazing thing how God did that. But Matthew wrote to picture Jesus as a king. Then Mark, one of the Gospels, Mark was written to picture Jesus as a servant. Now, there's no genealogy listed, or there's no family history listed then about Jesus in the book of Mark. You say, why? Servant doesn't need papers. Servant's just a servant. No need for a servant to have a big, strong genealogy. Now, a king is born into its royal standing, if you will. Then we have the third book of the New Testament, the book of Luke. Luke was written to picture Jesus as a man. Why? Luke was a physician. So what did Luke do? He dealt with man on a human level. Luke calls Jesus the Son of Man. The genealogy then here traces Jesus back to Adam, who was the first what? Man. Right. So you've got Matthew sees Jesus as a king. Mark sees Jesus as a servant. Luke sees Jesus as a man. Then you have John. John was written to picture Jesus as the Son of God. So here's what you have. Luke showed him as a man-God, and then John shows him as a God-man. The genealogy in the book of John, it takes you back to the beginning, where it said, in the beginning was the Word. Why? We're tracing him right to the throne of God. So, in the four Gospels, you have four people that wrote about one person, but every one of them seen Jesus from a different angle. All right? Well, you do realize in life there are a variety of ways that people see you. One person could be pictured in many different ways just depending on who was looking at them. For instance, a man, Brother Edwards, he would be a child to a father. He would be a brother to his brother. Many different relationships. We could look at them from many different angles. You could be a child to a father, a wife to your husband, a mother to your son, a sister to your brother, a boss to your employee, your grandparent to your grandson. Many different relationships, but it's all focused on one person. That's exactly what happened in the Gospels. Four different people seen Jesus from four different angles. It was the same Jesus. Now, I want to develop this a little further. John 1 is the key chapter probably to the book of John, and maybe it may even be the key chapter to the entire New Testament. Let me show you some things. If you've got your Bible there in John chapter 1, we're going to refer to some things, and I'll show you something. Let's look at the different ways of seeing Jesus in John chapter 1. Remember, the whole sermon tonight is called A Variety of Relationships. Notice in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, Jesus was that Word according to Revelation chapter 19. Jesus was the walking Word. Now, I believe this. I believe that you and I are to have a relationship with the Word. You're to have a relationship with the Word of God. But then it goes on. In John 1:1, the second part of the verse says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, the Word of God pictures the deity of Christ. Jesus is God. And you and I, we're to have a relationship with the Word of God. Now, we're to have a relationship with the God of the Word. So, you're to have a relationship with this book. This book represents the God of the universe. It said here, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So don't just have a relationship with the printed Word. Have a relationship with the God of the printed Word as well. Now, we go on. It goes on and says, in verse number 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I believe this. I believe that He was the Word. I believe He was God. I believe then that He is the creator of all things. And folks, you and I, we're to have a relationship with that creator. In other words, when somebody speaks up and tells you that they believe that you were evolved from a monkey, you're supposed to say, wait a minute, I know personally the creator of the universe, and I did not evolve from a monkey. I know the creator. But notice each step, Jesus is being seen in a different way. And people look at him in these different ways at different times. He's the Word. He's deity or God. He's the creator. Then, look at John 1. Let's look at verse number 11. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, we see Jesus came to his own creation, to do what? To pay sin's penalty. This now pictures him as Savior. See, the God, the Word, came to save us. That's why he came. Folks, you and I are to have a relationship with him, and there are times you need to remember he's your Savior. I want you to have a relationship with the Word of God. That's a part of a relationship you'll have with God. Then I want you to have a relationship with God who this Word represents. But wait a minute, you don't stop there. Don't you forget, he's the one that created you. Have a relationship with that part of him, the Creator. It doesn't hurt you every once in a while to take a look at the sun and the moon and the stars and look at the flowers and breathe the air and realize, my God created all this, and I know him personally, and commune with the Creator of all things. But then we find out that he came unto his own. Why? To save us. Now, here's a sweet relationship. He's the Savior. And folks, every once in a while, put all the other relationships aside and just think about the fact that you have Jesus as your Savior. And that there's a little different angle you take when he's the Creator than what you do when you're thinking of him as your Savior. And every one of these are different focuses that we would have on one person. Remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all four seen Jesus a different way. All four were correct. All four approached it the same way, but it was all one Jesus. And I think when John was bragging about him being deity, that was a big deal to John. But wait, when Luke was talking about him being the man God, that was a big deal to Luke, because he's walking around saying, yeah, he's God, but when he's tempted as man. And he said no to sin, and it's a big deal that he was able to say no, because he can tell us that we can say no to sin, because he set the example. That was a pretty big deal. That relationship angle for Luke was as important as the relationship angle that there was for John. But wait a minute. Let's go on now in John 1:12. In John 1:12, it says this. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Huh. Now we're called sons. Well, God is in the masculine gender and on purpose. He's called Father. Now, if he's Father, we're looked at as sons or children. Now, there's a totally different relationship. You ever heard the word Abba? That means daddy. Hey, he's not just God. He's not just Savior. He's not just Creator. He's not just the Word of God. He's our dad. That's another relationship, and how sweet that relationship is. And this is all about one person, Jesus Christ. All wrapped up into one. What a variety of angles and what a variety of connections that we get to make with God the Father. Then, I want you to see there in verse number 12 again, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, plural. You know, here we see more relationship coming into this thing. Not only am I a son of God, Rick Young is a son of God. Did you know something? If you're God's son and I'm God's son, I guess that makes us brothers. And you ladies, you're the sistrans. I don't know what you're laughing at. I'm just telling you, you're sistran. That's scriptural. So, now we see that we're the sons, plural. which means the Father has more than one, which means within this, now there's a relationship that you and I share. Now, folks, I said all that to show you that the title of the sermon is A Variety of Relationships. And I'm not here tonight to teach the introduction. The introduction shows you there are a variety of ways that we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. But your life on this earth is made up of a series of relationships. In each relationship, you are viewed from different perspectives. Every person sees you a little differently. Every person may develop a different relationship opinion with you. And folks, I think we're supposed to work on all those relationships. You say, Brother Owens, I'm a good Sunday school teacher. Yeah, but you're supposed to be a good wife too. Say, well, I'm a good employee. Yeah, but you're supposed to be a good husband too. Sometimes we pick a relationship and we develop that relationship and we think we're good at that relationship and all the other 20 relationships we have stink. I think we ought to be working on the variety of relationships. If we were talking about your relationship with Jesus, he said, Brother Owens, I believe he's the creator. Let me tell you something. If you believed he was a creator and you never got saved, you would never have a relationship of Savior, and you could believe he's a creator and die and go to hell. So you surely boogered up your thinking, didn't you? We need to work on all our opinions or all of the angles of our relationship with the Savior. But in life, if we're not careful, we'll look at the relationships as sons and daughters of God, and if we're not cautious, we won't be working on all those relationships. And I realize that tends then to complicate life a little bit. Being a good Christian helps you in all those relationships. But let me make this even simpler yet. Point number one, let me tell you the relationships that a man could have in life. In Psalm chapter 8, verse number 4, the Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God's interested in man and man's relationships. What I'm about to say is obvious, but listen to it because I took the time to think through it to say it to you. What relationships could you as a man have in life? Hey, and when I go through this, I wish you'd get you a little checklist. How are you doing in the areas in which these relationships apply to you? You ought to be working on your relationships. And might I say again, two big things in life, your decisions and your relationships. And if you're not good at making decisions, you're not good at life. And if you're not good in relationships, you're not good at life. You're failing if you're not good in those two areas. You're just a failure as a Christian. You've got to get it together. So as I go through, men, I want you to look. Young men, not all of these will apply to a young man, but many of them will eventually, and many of them may currently. But as I go through it, I want you to think about it. How are you doing in this relationship? Men, a son to your dad, a son to your mom. Let me stop here. So you say, I got great relationship with my parents. I want to know how your relationship is with your dad and how's your relationship with your mom. You don't build a relationship with parents, plural. You build a relationship with the dad and you build another relationship with the mom. Are you listening to me? And some of you are a little too surface in it all. You think this is all a bundle deal. We're not Sudden Link. We're Christians. What relationships could a man have? You could have a relationship as a stepson, a relationship as a brother to a brother, a relationship as a brother to a sister, a relationship as a stepbrother, a father to each son, a father to each daughter. You say, I got great relationship with my kids. I don't like the word kids, plural. How are you with your number one son? How are you with your number two son? How are you with your number one daughter? How are you with your number two daughter? Folks, you don't build relationships with units. You build relationships with individuals. Let me go on. What relationships could a man have? You could be a husband. You could be a grandson to your grandfather. You could be a grandson to your grandmother. You could be an uncle to each nephew. You could be an uncle to each niece. If you wiggle when you walk, you can be an aunt, but I'd rather you men stay uncles. You would be a friend to your friends. You would be a leader to some. You would be a follower yet to others. You would be a neighbor to some. You're a teacher to some. You are a student to others. You could be a grandparent to some. You could be a father-in-law to some. I've listed 21 simple, obvious relationships that almost every adult man over 45 to 50 years of age in here could have. How are you doing on those 21 relationships? Now, what will make you successful in life is you taking those relationships and helping them to become successful. Now, ladies, let's see what relationships you could be working on. What relationships could a woman have? And again, young people, the list will be a little long. There's some things for which you will not qualify at this time. But you'll qualify for every one of them if the norm occurs in your life. So, and the Bible says in Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? And let me tell you something. That when it talks about a virtuous woman, I'm going to guarantee you, tucked into the virtuous woman are good decisions and good relationships. Ladies, what relationships do you have in life? And as we go through it, think about it. Are you doing well at these particular relationships? A daughter to your dad. A daughter to your mom. As a stepdaughter. A sister to each brother. A sister to each sister. As a stepsister. A mother to each of your sons. A mother to each of your daughters. A wife. A granddaughter to a grandfather. A granddaughter to a grandmother. An aunt to each niece. An aunt to each nephew. A friend to true friends. A leader to some ladies. A follower to others. A crazy driver to most. I don't know how things like that get in my outline. The devil puts it in there. You're going to be a neighbor to some, a teacher to some, a student to others, a grandparent to some, and a mother-in-law. I'm just going to leave it be. Now, let me explain to all of you, you young people, as your pastor, let me tell you something. Your life, you start out and you have fun and you play. And somebody gets your clothes, and they get your food, and they help you with everything, and life's not real complicated. Every year that you add in life, life becomes more complicated. You want to know why? Because the number of relationships multiply. Think about it. You were fine with your brother being your friend until you went to kindergarten, and then you got more friends, and life at recess complicated. Then you got to third grade, and you thought you had a girlfriend, except for your buddy is the one that talked to her all the time because you weren't about to talk to a girl. He broke up with her. He gave her all the treats. He asked her to go steady. You got a little older. You became a teenager, and your life just about started to fall apart. Why? All these friends. But folks, you become a parent. Life expands. You grow in business. The relationships multiply. Life expands. You become a grandparent. Life expands. You become a great-grandparent. Life expands. The business grows. More relationships. Life expands. So why does life tend to get more complicated? Because there are more relationships with which to deal. And though this is not a part of tonight's lesson, there are more decisions that have to be made in regard to those relationships. So, I've said this. I've told you what relationships, basically, 21 relationships that we men, males, need to work on. 21 relationships ladies need to work on. Number three, I believe that you and I should take the time to build each individual relationship. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another." That's a simple challenge for you and I to love one another. Well, who am I supposed to love? Now, he didn't list all 21 relationships, but I will guarantee you he intended for you to love all 21 relationships. You're to love your brother, you're to love your sister, you're to love your husband, you're to love your wife, you're to love your friend, you're to love your mother-in-law, you're to love your father-in-law, your grandmother and your grandfather. But we are to take the time to grow and build each individual relationship. Folks, don't have shallow relationships. Too many people have surface relationships. Now, stay with me, because some of you, I think if you'll let me, I'll scripturally adjust some of your thinking, and it's going to deepen your relationship spiritually. Now listen, you cannot build a relationship with your family. You cannot. You must build a relationship with each person within that family. Did you hear what I said? You don't build relationships with units, but with individuals. Look, if you have to choose between family time and time with family members as an individual, you're better off with individual times with each family member. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to choose. You can do both. Say, I've got two children and a wife. You should spend time with your wife and your children together as a unit. Then you should build a relationship with your wife and a relationship with your daughter and a relationship with your son. If we're not careful, we try to take the easy way out. We look at the unit and we think, I got a good unit. You'll have a good unit if you have good individuals and individual connections within that unit. I'll guarantee it. Now, you can't build a relationship with your Sunday school class. You'll build a relationship with the individuals in that class. You won't build a relationship with a team. You'll build a relationship with the individual players on that team. You won't build a relationship with your in-laws. Probably never anyway. But you won't build a relationship with your in-laws, plural. You'll build a relationship with your mother-in-law and your father-in-law independently. And therefore, you're able to say, I do well with my in-laws, plural. You understand what I'm saying? You won't build a good relationship with the bus route. You'll build a relationship with the individuals on the church bus route. Employers don't really build relationships with the workforce. They build relationships with the individuals, the workforce. I'll never forget the gentleman that helped our church. Y'all remember a man wrote us a $50,000 check and gave it to us so we could buy this building. That man loved me. Would you think, that's my boss. He was my boss. I worked secularly for him. I ran lathes and mills, and he was my boss. You know, I'm going to guess when a man like that writes a $50,000 check to a man that's not been in his employment for over 20 years, I'm going to guess there was a personal relationship. I wasn't just on the payroll. He came to my college graduation. When I walked across the platform, he's 6 foot six, 6'7", weighs about 280 pounds, great big guy. I walked across the platform in a 5,000-seat auditorium, and he stood in the balcony and said, "Way to go, Jeff! That's my employee!" I love him. He loves me. He didn't build a relationship with a team. He built a relationship with Jeff Owens. Did you know that God doesn't save people in groups? He saves them one at a time. You say, Brother Owens, how in the world did we get a thriving, overloaded church auditorium in the last 36 months, we've grown at about one person a week. One a week. One at a time. You know, we're born one at a time for a reason. You say, well, wonder if someone had triplets. They all came out one at a time, I'll guarantee it. Okay? So, I said to you, number one, men, there's 20-some relationships in life we ought to be working on. Ladies, there are 20-some relationships in life we ought to be working on. I said, number three, take the time to nurture and build the individual relationships. Within that, I said, be careful convincing yourself you build a relationship with the unit. The way to build strong relationships is with the individuals in the unit, and that's what makes the unit strong. Number four. Now, we're going to go to, I want you to help your children with this. For instance, teach your children that going to church does not make them automatically close to God. Teach your children that going to church does not automatically make them close to God. In John chapter 14, verse number 9, it says, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me? He was talking to the people. I'm talking about when Jesus was alive. He was talking to the guys that were running with him from city to city, and he said, have I been with you so long, and you don't even know me? And they would have said, we know you. He said, no, I'm not talking about a surface thing. I know you know my name, and I know I know your name. I'm talking about we've not connected. Listen, young people, just because you come to church, that does not make you spiritual. Getting close to God for yourself makes you spiritual. So I go to church all the time. I'm glad you do. But the reason you come here is to help you to get close to God. Just coming to church does not make you close to God. I think it makes you obedient to God. Look, let God speak to you, young people, from your Bible reading. You say, but we have family devotions and my dad read the Bible. That's good. And I want you dads to have family devotions. And I want you moms to have family devotions. Well, I hope you don't think this is terrible. But if I had to choose between family devotions and personal devotions, you're better off getting your kids in the Bible for themselves and getting a relationship close to God for themselves than us depending on the unit, because the unit does not secure spirituality. Individual relationships secure the relationship. Teach your children to let God speak to them from the Bible. Teach your children that they need to pray and talk to God. Young people, some of you go to a Christian school. Let me tell you something. Just because you go to a good Christian school doesn't make you a good Christian. Matter of fact, one of the easiest places in the world to backslide is in the Christian school. And you say, why? Because you look like everyone. You got all this. You got your spiritual routine. That doesn't make you close to God. You just fall in the routine of it all. So, teach your children that going to church does not automatically make them close to God. And it does not automatically give them a relationship with God. Young people, look at your preacher for a second. Get to know God. Say, but my mom and dad take me to church. I'm not talking about mom and dad taking you to church. You get to know God. You let the Bible talk to you. You pray. You make it so when you turn 18 and you have a choice, you keep coming to church. I could not tell you how many young people, mom and dad made them go to church until they were 18, and they turned 18, they moved out and didn't go to church anymore and gave up on God and everything else, and I'll tell you why. They were depending on mom and dad's relationship, and mom and dad's relationship will not carry a son, will not carry a daughter. So, number five, and I've already said this, but it's worth repeating. Having family devotions is not enough. Now, so you all know, growing up, if you grew up in our family, Mrs. Owens and I started having devotions when we got married. We had devotions with our children every day. This is what we did. If we had a church day on a Sunday or a Wednesday, we didn't have devotions on those days. We'd gone to a revival, we didn't have devotions on those days. But every other day of the week, we sat down and we read some scripture, and we had a prayer time with our kids. If I was gone, I was traveling, Mrs. Owens had devotions with the kids. If Mrs. Owens was gone buying things, I would have devotions with the kids. But we had those family devotions. But let me explain something. Family devotions will not carry the family spiritually. Individual devotions is what carries the family scripturally. A personal relationship with God is a must. I think you can do both. I think you can spend time as a family in the Bible. I think you can spend time as a family praying. But I think you also should teach everybody in the family. They ought to have a time where they take their Bible and they read their Bible and they pray. They get close to God. Time in the Bible as a family is fantastic. Time in the Bible as a Christian is imperative. Get this. If your family never had family devotions, but everybody in the family opened their Bible every day and prayed every day and built an individual relationship with God, you'd never had to have had family devotions. I just think they don't get enough of it, so the family devotions is best. Okay, and to some of you, I'm speaking foreign language. But how many of you, I wish I could say, I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I grew up in the generation where the family shared the Bible every day. You don't hear it anymore, but some of you know what I'm talking about because you used to do it and you heard about it way, way back when they rode dinosaurs to work, but it's still a good thing to do. All right, number six, and it won't be long. We're going to find a landing strip and get this over with. I'm going to say this by way of testimony, but I'll let it be the sixth point of the sermon. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who is able to help us with all these relationships. I'm going to tell you what happens. The more you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the better He can reach out to the multiple relationships and work on all them for you. Those of you that walk in the flesh, you're going to have to work double hard on these relationships. If you walk in the Spirit of God will help with the relationships. I believe this. I believe that I, as a pastor, will not build all the church relationships properly by just standing in this pulpit. I shake your hand. Every person in this room, except for a couple visitors, I pray for you by name every day of your life. There's some of you, I pray for your prayer requests more than you pray for your prayer requests. I believe that God helps, you know, you just pray for someone and pray for them faithfully. And you pray and you pray and you pray. You're building a relationship. There's no doubt about that. But you know what, Brother Kenny? You and I have probably, we've gotten close through the preaching, but we probably get close when we're working on projects around the church and talking about this or talking about that and through counseling sessions. It's all a part of it. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit of God, He's the only one that can help with the multiple relationships, and He does. I'm not saying to you that you won't be helping your relationships as you teach your Sunday school class. You will help the relationships in there as you teach, especially if the Holy Spirit's helping you. I'm just saying to you, don't you depend on group sessions for fixing things. There are counselors in this room. Group sessions aid the problem. Individual sessions solve problems. I've been counseling for a long time. If I ever counsel your marriage, let me tell you how we do it. The two of you will come to my office. We'll talk for a moment. Then I have the husband leave the room and I talk to the wife. I say, now let's work on you. She'll say, but well, let me tell you what's wrong with him. I said, you can't change him. Let's work on you. She leaves the room. The husband comes in. He'll say, let me tell you what's wrong with my wife. I say, no, let's just work on you because you can't change her. So I help the wife to change the wife. I help the husband to help the husband. And then I bring them back together and I've got a fixed up wife and a fixed up husband. And we don't have a problem anymore. The more people you get in that office at one time, the more chance you have for World War III. If I were counseling three business partners, I'd meet with business partner number one alone, and business partner number two alone, and business partner number three alone. We'd all make agreements alone. I'd help everybody get their heart right alone. Then we'd bring them back together, let the Spirit help with the unity. But I'm here just to tell you, you fix relationships not in groups. You fix them with individuals. The Holy Spirit will help to do that. And I just say to everybody in here, God gave us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four books written from four different perspectives, all about one person, Jesus. All four perspectives are important, and all four perspectives are right. And then you go into John chapter 1, and we see about seven or eight different relationships you and I should have with Jesus, the Word, the Creator, God, the Savior. And we ought to be working in all of those areas to exalt Him and to build a relationship with Him. I'm finished. But folks, let's work on our relationships. Sunday school teacher, take a little time with the individuals. Bus captain, help the individual. Ministry leader, take interest in the individual. Directors, interest in the individual. Folks, when you go soul winning, I think you could win people to Christ. You could win 10 people to Christ all at one time, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus saves them one at a time. He does not see them as a group. He sees them as individuals. Individuals. You got saved alone. You'll go to heaven alone. You'll go to hell alone, where there'll be wonderful relationships in heaven or terrible associations in hell. But what will get you there is you personally reject Christ or you personally accept Christ. Relationships. Big deal. It's really what makes up our life. If you're miserable right now, you're miserable because of a decision you made, or you're miserable because of a relationship. Probably nothing other than that, unless it might be your health. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's a question. Are you saved? If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you don't know you're born again, I invite you to the Savior. You say, oh, I believe there's a God. I'm glad you do. That means that you have a relationship with God, the Supreme One, but you need Him to be your Savior. There's another relationship. You say, I believe He created the world. Good. I don't want you just to believe He's a creator. I want you to receive Him as Savior. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Christian. Question, how are your relationships? I wish tonight that we might have stumbled onto a relationship and you say, you know what, I do have this relative or this relationship and it needs some nurturing, it needs worked on, and I'm going to work on it. Who would say, Brother Owens, God has spoken to my heart in the teaching tonight, that God has spoken to me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? The response is good for your heart. You may put your hand down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need time at the altar, you come. The piano begins to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You say, I get along great with my mom, but not my dad. Maybe you ought to work on it. You say, I get along with my dad, but not my mom. You need to work on it. You say, I've got these friends and we're really close. Yeah, but how do you treat your brother? How do you treat your sister? If your parents are alive, you ought to be working on the relationship. If your grandparents are alive, don't forsake them. Oh, you may not be able to spend all your time on one given relationship, but you ought to be working on the relationships of your life. Your life is a series of relationships, much like it is a series of decisions. Sometimes you'll spend time with Jesus and just love the fact that He's your Savior. Other times, He's going to be the Word of God. Other times He'll be the God of the Word. Yet there are other times when Jesus will be your Comforter through the Holy Spirit of God. He'll be your Father, Abba, Daddy. He's the Creator. He created it all. He owns it all. He's the owner of it all. But if you want to be successful as a Christian, you have to work on your relationships. The lesson tonight, a variety of relationships. Thank you, ushers. And if you ushers have any more prayer sheets, we'll give out what we have. This is the last time through the song. We'll be done and we'll gather prayer requests, and we'll be on our way.